Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We have a very fast-paced program we're going to have this morning. It is Christmas Eve day, and I trust that you're all doing very well. I've got a few more minor things I need to take care of here before I go any further. I've got to make sure that I've invited our dear host here, Patricia Joy, who's going to be up with us in just about an hour. And I need to send her an invitation in order to make this all work. So here we go. And we're going to send that to her right now. And I think we're doing good. Let's make sure we're doing good. Hello, hello, hello. If you're watching on the YouTube, we're welcoming you right now. You could always chat with us throughout the day. Or at least the hour broadcast. And if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, we should be coming through loud and clear. And as our dear friend prompted me yesterday from South Dakota, Brother Ken, that we were not recording on Omega Radio. Well, we should be recording just fine right now. And so let's jump right into what we want to talk about. And this is going to be shifting. And so let us shift. And let's begin with where we left off yesterday, and we were talking about the zeal of the Lord. And there is a wonderful scripture that talks to us about the Jewish people having a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, and they went about establishing their own righteousness and forsook the very righteousness of God. So zeal must be guided and directed properly in order for it to have its good work. And so I thought it was good for us to go back to some scripture here, and I'm going to do that right now. And I want to go to, okay, yeah, it is, and I'll be right up there to help you with that, Patricia. So let's go to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It says this, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And this is just one of a number of passages that we're going to find here. And I want to talk about this, about our zeal. Where should we direct our zeal as a new covenant people? What is the direction of our zeal? As we're celebrating again the second day of Hanukkah, would remind our listeners that yesterday we talked about the zeal of Phinehas and the zeal of Yeshua and the zeal of David and the zeal of so many different individuals, the Maccabee revolt against the ruling power of their day. What was that zeal, that passion to serve the Lord? Well, we want to make sure as a new covenant people that our zeal is intact, that the fire, the hot, the power, because that's what the word zeal means. It means to be hot and passionate. And we need to have that. There's never a time not to have that. But what is the zeal? And the Apostle Paul was telling us here that we should be a people that are zealous. And let me give you the exact meaning of that word for just a moment. It's zelates, zelates. And it means one burning with zeal, one burning with zeal. And when you start getting back into the meaning of that, it gets into the word hot, it gets into the word heat. And so we're talking about passion, zeal, a burning zeal, one used of God as jealous of any rival and sternly vindicating his control. Okay, so God has created a people, and this is going back to Titus 2:14. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And that's what I really want to focus on today, that your zeal, your passion for God, the desire you have to serve the Lord, your jealousy for God and for the things of God needs to be directed. And it needs to be directed towards good works. And I want to look at the word good there for just a moment, because it's kalos, it's or kalos. And that word good actually means beautiful or valuable or virtuous. So God wants you to do things with value in mind, okay? Value is the real meaning here. So valuable what? Valuable works. And that's the word that we get for ergon, I believe it is. And the actual meaning there is ergon, and that means business. So do valuable business, your passion or toil, okay, as an effort or occupation. So we are literally told that we have been set apart for good works, for good works. Now, let's look at a few verses about good works or things that we are occupied with that are valuable. What can you be doing? How can your passion, how can your zeal, how did God set you apart for good works? Well, Matthew 5:16, Jesus was talking to the people of his day, and he's talking to you and I today. And in Matthew 5:16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So in a new covenant dispensation, the zeal, the passion, the heat, the fervent desire to serve the Lord in his purpose shows up in our good works. And we are to let our light so shine that men will see our good works and they will glorify God in heaven. So again, what is a good work? It is something that you are occupied with that has value, and it's through effort that we're putting something forth. Let's look at a few others. There's a lot, but I want to be I just want to be diligent with this. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship." All right, this is going back to what Titus said. Paul writes it this way, or what Paul wrote to Titus. So Ephesians 2:10, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." So we've literally been created for good works. Now, where is our zeal? Be zealous for good works, right? So our zeal for good works, we've been created for good works. Now we're told in, let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's go to verse 6. Or chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, speaking of those that had wealth, it said that they do good works, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. So he's talking to people that had wealth. He's telling them what to do with their wealth. to be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Then in 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then in Titus 2:7 says, in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. And then we already read Titus 2:14, but what about Titus 3:8? Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which believed in God, they which have believed in God, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And then in Titus 3:14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may not be unfruitful, that they be not unfruitful. So good works helps us to become fruitful and not to become unfruitful. All right, so Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. To provoke to good works. Now, 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the last or in the day of visitation. So what is the point, and why am I reading these scriptures to you? Well, obviously, the new covenant zeal is directed and guided to good works. Be zealous for good works. And another passage of scripture that I think is important for us to read is Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing. There's your good works again. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So don't be weary in good works or in well-doing. And then in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Again, good works. Don't get weary in doing what is good. Don't be weary in doing what is well, okay? So the reason I bring this up is because yesterday's somewhat passionate presentation about the zeal of the Lord in a time of darkness that we are living in, corruption, defilement, and all of these things, we wanted to stir the passion in God's people. We wanted to whet the appetite, I believe the Holy Spirit did, to get God's people from being lethargic or lukewarm or kind of mediocre, that this is a time that the Spirit of God is calling us to a more passionate walk with Jesus, but we can actually guide our zeal. And rather than taking a javelin and sticking it into the belly of a man and a woman, rather than the Maccabee hammer of revolution, rather than, okay, these things, first, our zeal and our passion for God needs to show up in good works, in doing well. What does that mean? It means to search and seek out areas where you can distribute and you could touch things with well-doing. It means that you could put zeal for the kingdom of God by putting effort towards promoting what is righteous and what is good. What does it mean to do good works? Literally, this is a season where every one of us could be looking for those who are less fortunate and finding areas where we can bless people, where we could pray for people, where we could help people. It's not just finding the guys on the corner with the signs, you know, need a job, need money, and all that stuff. That's always there. Jesus said the poor will always be with you. But it's also looking out for those widows and those orphans, or looking out for someone in distress on the side of the road that has a flat tire. You know, we need to be more like the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, and rather than passing people by that are troubled, expecting someone else to help them, maybe we need to store up our treasures in heaven by continually seeking what is good. And I always believe that it begins in the household of faith, because the Word of God says it does. It tells us that we should always seek to do good, especially among the household of faith. That's going back to Galatians. So what are the needs in the body of Christ? Where do you see people really needing your effort and your good work, your efforts to do what is right and good for other people? So the idea is be zealous, but be zealous for good works. The book of Revelation is very clear. In all the letters, all the seven letters to the seven churches, they basically always pointed out the good works that the church was doing. And yet the good works are sometimes a counterproductivity to the character that Christ wanted in the church. You could get involved in good works and leave off the more important things of your character or the character of the church or the love that the church has for Christ. So there's a balance, and it's things to be passionate for, like growing up into Christ in all things, allowing the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of God, to become established in your life, while at the same time maintaining good works. So we never forsake good works for character, and we don't forsake character for good works. Both are working together. One is on your behalf to develop you into a man or woman of God. The other is helping other people along the way. And the safety of good works is getting us out of our selfish, self-centered ways, where it's all about me. It's really not all about us. It's actually not about us at all, except for what God wants to do in our lives for his benefit. So there's a safeguard in doing good works for others. And when you're passionate about others' well-being, not just your little, group that you have, but really looking everywhere all the time to do good for somebody. And that is where you could be zealous and you could have passion and you could have fire. And then, of course, your personal development through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, that's all I wanted to say about that, just so nobody thought we were advocating going and blowing things up. By the way, talking about blowing things up, you might want to do yourself a favor on this second day of Hanukkah, okay, which is a story of absolute zeal and passion, which we do appreciate. But remember, first things first, let's get things going in the right direction, first of all, with our passion for others and for God and through love serving one another. But you may want to do yourself a favor by watching a really interesting movie called The Exodus. And it was The Exodus with Paul Newman. And we watched this the other day. It seemed to be very clean. There was nothing bad about this movie. We would recommend it. But it shows what was going on in 1948 when the British were occupying Palestine and the Jewish people were beginning to make their way back home. So the movie is called The Exodus or Exodus, and it's the one with Paul Newman. And I think you're going to really enjoy it because you're going to see different things that people were doing. There were good works. Paul Newman was helping Jews get back home, and there was a whole lot to it. But there was another aspect of this where they wanted the British out of Palestine, and so another group of people were doing the work of the Maccabees, and I'll just leave it right there. So it's called The Exodus, Paul Newman, and I think it's a great movie to watch during Hanukkah. I think you'll enjoy it, and God bless you for that. Now, I want to get into some other important things that we need to talk about and we need to share. I want to read to you an article, okay? And this is very interesting, and we'll see where this actually goes, but it's an article that I believe is right up our alley, okay? I believe this is everything that we've been talking about, and I'm going to take it rather slow, and I don't know who the author of this is, but I do know it comes from the Prophecy News Network or Prophecy News Workshop. So this writer said it this way, and I thought he did an excellent job. And again, it complements what we have been talking about and what we've been hearing for quite some time. He starts this article with a subtitle, Breakneck Speed. Breakneck Speed. He said, I've been hesitant to write a prophecy update lately because things are happening at such a rapid pace that it is difficult to keep up with everything happening. Yet, this is exactly what Jesus said would happen at the time of the end. He said over and over again that he would come at a time when the signs were occurring in rapid fire. Well, I happen to agree with that because 2 years ago on this radio broadcast, we brought prophecies concerning the acceleration that was going to be taking place and what the accelerant would be. And last week we talked about the accelerant, Donald J. Trump, that has literally brought things from a, you know, kind of a moderate place into this rapid fire of transformation that we see going on in our country and around the world. Well, listen to this. He said, Jesus used the Greek word taku. And that word taku, he said, think tachometer, and various forms of the term. You know what a tachometer is when you're shifting and you're getting your rate really high, right? So he wasn't saying he was coming soon, as some translations render it, but that he was coming swiftly. And I love that because in the book of Revelation, that's exactly what we've been presenting for years, that the word soon and tachos means with speed. So when the stage is set at the end of the age, when everything is ready, it's going to come like this rapid fire, okay? So the tachometer is going to go off the charts, if you will, and it's going to go into high numbers. So he said he was going to come swiftly at a time when things were revved up at the top end of the end time tachometer, so to speak. So we seem to be there now, the writer says. I suppose things could rev up even more, but at some point the tachometer is going to redline. And so what he's saying is in these end times where we are with the acceleration and the accelerant of things around the world, things are now revved up and the tachometer is very high and it's going to redline at some point. And then he goes on to say this. In the Olivet Discourse, Jesus said the nations would have perplexing problems in the last days, problems they didn't even know how to fix. In the context of the aforementioned birth pains, he also taught that these and other signs would increase in frequency and intensity. So the closer we got to his return. So again, these are things we believe, these are things that we have heard, that things are going to become like birth pains and they're going to increase in frequency and intensity. Then he said, in addition to Jesus's teaching about the last days, Paul taught in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that there would be terrible or dangerous, violently brutal times in the last days characterized by selfishness, greed, pride, lawlessness, slander, immorality, and spirituality, but not godliness. And we see a lot of that today in New Age metaphysics, et cetera, et cetera. So because of the wall-to-wall coverage of the ongoing KGB-like political coup taking place in Washington, most Americans don't even realize the incredible rise of division and social uprising around the world. In addition to the deepening division occurring right now in America with the impeachment, in Israel, heading toward an unprecedented third election, and with the official charges leveled on Netanyahu, and in Great Britain with the ongoing Brexit breakup perplexities, here is a snapshot of actual, ongoing, often violent, and widespread civil uprisings around the globe. Here it is. France, Hong Kong, Iran, where the internet was shut down and over 100 protesters were killed in 21 cities, Turkey, Venezuela, Lebanon, Chile, Spain, Haiti, Iraq, Sudan, Russia, Egypt, Uganda, Indonesia, Ukraine, Peru, Zimbabwe, Colombia, the Netherlands, Ethiopia, Brazil, Algeria, Ecuador, and other places. What's going on in all these places we just mentioned? Ongoing, often violent, and widespread civil uprisings. Okay, that's what's going on in these places right now. You probably haven't heard that. You've heard maybe a few of them, but it's happening everywhere, just like Jesus said. Now, circling back to the division in America, it truly seems our country is too far gone. You don't hear too many people say that. He said, I'm an optimist by nature, but as I study scripture and survey the landscape and recent history of our country, I don't see how it can be healed. Scripture tells us that a nation divided cannot stand. Again, things we've said. It is a spiritual law, so to speak. I do believe, however, that God is delaying this supernova explosion until a particular time. He said, I believe Jesus taught in the Olivet Discourse through his mention of the end times being like the days of Noah, that the world would be characterized by lawlessness, violence, widespread immorality, and business as usual commerce right up to the moment the end time arc closes. Right now, we're on all systems go, and I believe it will stay that way and worsen as times go on. So you have heard over and over again, as I have, the end is near, the last days, the end is here, the last days, unto nauseam, right? But don't get nauseous. It's real. That's what you're in. And it's going to, as this writer says, he believes it will stay that way and worsen. And what have we been seeing since we believe these things? A worsening climate around the world. It has not gotten better. It just has not gotten better. And so lawlessness is here. Violence is here. Widespread immorality is here. Business as usual in commerce, buying, selling, building, you know, planting, marrying, giving in marriage, all of it. Now, Zechariah chapter 12 says Israel will be like a fire pot in a wood pile in the last days. Even though this tiny country could fit into Lake Michigan with room to spare and merely wants to exist in peace, hundreds of rockets can be fired into her civilian areas without any real condemnation from the UN, EU, or any other major country except the US. Last week, Israel was attacked daily and rightfully defended herself as rockets were fired into civilian areas, and this barely made the news in America. Then we have the matter of Iran's proxies and specialized Quds force preparing daily and openly stating this fact for a near future attack on Israel. By the way, did you realize that Quds, that's Q-U-D-S, means Jerusalem? In other words, Iran has a specialized elite unit within their Revolutionary Guards that literally means Jerusalem force. Let that sink in. End time Bible prophecy centers on the tightening concentric circles of Israel, Jerusalem, and the Temple Mount. As a matter of fact, we discover that every Old Testament prophet except Jonah predicted that Israel would become a nation again after a long period of worldwide dispersion and mistreatment of the Jewish people. For example, Ezekiel chapter 36 through chapter 39 very clearly predicted the detailed chronological milestones that we have witnessed in modern history, much of it in just the past couple of years. These milestones include, now listen to these are just little points, the scattered bones of a nearly annihilated Jewish race, the bones coming together. Number two, being brought back to their homeland again, that has happened. Number three, leading to the rebirth of their ancient nation, that has happened. Followed by the threat of an unlikely alliance of three nations. And these ancient nations cited being modern-day Russia, Turkey, and Iran. Next, having other nations in tow, like Sudan, Libya, etc. And with the storm forming from Israel's northern border. But without the involvement of Syria, a traditional, consistent biblical enemy of Israel, because they'll be taken out. And with Russia being the main guard of the other nations involved, and finally, for the purpose of taking valuable resources from Israel at the opportune time, and there are valuable resources in Israel. So the stage for this near future attack is being set before our eyes in real time. Prophecy is leaping off the page onto our newsfeed. These prophecies of Scripture could not more clearly be coming to pass than they are right now, except for the moment when this future attack begins and God intervenes. Now, even the U.S. pullout from northern Syria lines up with the prophecy. It's as if someone were reading Ezekiel chapter 38 like a movie script and directing the players how to act. Now, this is critical. What I'm about to share out of this gentleman's article is critical because he says some encouraging marching orders. He said, I want to end this weighty article on a positive and encouraging note. Aside from the fact that God is in control and we win in the end, we can also be encouraged as people who are watching the end time signs in a few other ways. As a prophecy student and end time watchman myself, I've had to wrestle with the tension between the worsening conditions of the world and the blessed hope event horizon. Here are a few conclusions I've come to terms of how to navigate through these turbulent waters with our hope and joy still intact. He said, I pray that these are an encouragement to others who have eyes to see the prophetic events taking place before our eyes, as so many seem to be asleep to these amazingly prophetic events. Sounds like the 10 virgins. The foundation to all of these is trust. So here it is. You ready? Put this in your belt. Number one, don't second guess your calling. That's important for you right now, and for me, and for all. Tether your obedience to a specific moment in time when you know God called you. What was the word over your life? What was the calling on your life? What did God tell you to do? Tether yourself to that. Number two, stay in your lane. Focus on what you are called to impact, not on the thousand plus other things you can't control. So focus. What can you do? Where can you direct your zeal, your passion to do good works? Where are you to be focusing? Number three, look up. Fix your attention on eternal things and trust that God is in control. Number four, obey one step at a time. Obey. Now, remember, going back to number three, by the way, look up, fix your attention on eternal things, trust that God is in control. Remember, we talked about how Claudius Augustus had a worldwide taxing that forced Joseph and Mary to go down to Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy. God even used the Caesar of the world to fulfill his will. That's how in control God really is. And you need to be encouraged about that. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So we're not ignorant of what's going on, but remember, Jesus was on the cross. He looked beyond the cross to the joy that was set before him. You and I need to do the same thing, but not be ignorant, okay? So number four, again, obey one step at a time. God knows exactly where he needs to position you on the end time battlefield. And when events are coming fast and furious, we must seek the Lord and obey one single step at a time. This is less overwhelming. Just do the little thing. Do that one thing God is asking you to do. Number five, embrace the season. We are in the end times. Embrace this fact and understand its implications. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't let your family and friends talk you out of it. Embrace it. Number six, fellowship with like-minded believers. Intentionally seek out other watchers, even if you have to fellowship from afar. Technology can help. Thank God we have some like-minded people right here in Northwest Arkansas. And then for the people that we do fellowship with over this technological machinery that we're using today. This is very important, number seven. Bloom where you are planted. Prayerfully consider how to be a blessing to your church, even if many don't recognize the relevance, importance, or urgency of the signs that you see. Perhaps the Lord is positioning you as a go-to source whom other believers can call on at the right time. As conditions worsen, perhaps more believers will see what you see, or at least be more curious about them. You'll be uniquely positioned to answer their questions, so be patient and loving in the meantime. I think that's great, great advice from a terrific article that we wanted to read here today. Now, what I need to do is make sure that everything is set for Patricia Joy to come on the airwaves. What I need to do, and you'll forgive me, I want to give opportunity for you to call in about some comments of anything you heard today. It is Christmas Eve day. We are excited about what God has planned for us today, tomorrow, and the days ahead. We are watching end time prophecy. We are embracing it. We have fully embraced this reality. We're learning to live even in the midst of it. It's called balance. Balance is the key to everything. I need to go away for just a moment, and I'm going to just play a, you know, maybe a little song for some for us right now. And if you don't mind, I've got to get Patricia, and then I'll be back within less than 5 minutes. And here's a really great song maybe to consider as we are, you know, thinking about all these things that are happening. So I want to share this with you. All I have to do is find it, right? And where are you? They always disappear on me. But just give me a minute to get this right, and bummer. So here we go. Well, we'll just go here for right now. How about that? We'll just go here. We'll put that up there. Bada bing, bada boom. I'll be right back, okay? I got to make sure Patricia Joy is ready to go. All right, all right, all right, all right, already. All right, so we're going to go ahead and continue our broadcast here. Thanks for being patient with me this morning. And maybe you have some questions or comments you'd like to make today. We're going to say hello, hello, hello. Good morning from Brother Kevin. And the number to call is 818-369-0326. Patricia Joy is all ready to go. That took me less than 3 minutes. So what did we talk about already today? Where have we been? Talking about the end times. Don't be afraid to embrace them. We talked about how fast everything is coming. There were four earthquakes today, four of them on the Cascadia Mountains, the mountain range. Just got that information today. And prophecy, like the gentleman said, it's going so fast you can't keep up with it. But this is what the Spirit of God told us 2 years ago, remember? An acceleration of events that would be taking place both in the realm of darkness and in the realm of light. And what's imperative is for you and I to be moved by the accelerant of the Holy Spirit to activate things in our lives, our calling particularly. And it is important that you stay focused and I stay focused on what we're supposed to do and allow for that acceleration. Bring forth that calling, bring forth your zeal. Let your zeal be for good works. Get yourself involved. Waiting for your call today. Number to call, 818-369-0326. We'd love to talk with you. And maybe you have, those of you that are joining us on YouTube, if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. We're all seeing it. Isn't this amazing? And yet on the other side of this moment today, I trust that you're preparing to be with your friends and family to celebrate the Messiah, the birth of Jesus Christ into this world, the light of the world, your wisdom, your understanding, your knowledge, everything you need to get through these days. Now, our technology was a little bit tricky this morning, so I'm not sure if Blog Talk Radio listeners can press one on the dial pad and call into the program. Maybe you can, maybe you can't, but maybe you'd like to share something today about Christmas. Maybe you'd like to share something today about what you heard. I'm waiting for your call. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Press one on your dial pad. I actually had a friend call yesterday, and she said, I wanted to call in, but I forgot the number. And I said, well, I better repeat that number a little bit more often. So here it is. If you're listening on your computer, iPad, iPod, some other device, and you would like to call into the program, 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326 is the number to call. And then on Facebook, you could just chat with us if you have any questions or comments. And I'm trusting we're still on the air here. So I'm excited about today. How about you? I don't have much more to say on this particular broadcast. We've got a good 20 minutes. It's time for the, what do they call it? I heard the sound of many waters. So let the many waters speak. Let the river of life flow out of you this morning. What are you hearing in the spirit? What is God saying to you? Did we clarify the zeal for good works? I think we did. I think we did. We read an article that's consistent with where we are. And so now it's Christmas Eve day. And I hope and trust that you are blessed, that you are prospering in the Lord, that you're excited about this day. And what I like to do, because nobody knows when Jesus was really born, but here's what I've concluded. During Passover, nobody talked about his birth. During Tabernacles, nobody talked about his birth. Right now, people are talking about his birth all over the world. And so what we're doing is going back and remembering the story, and we're celebrating the birth of God's Son into this world. He's your Savior. He's my Savior. He was the Savior of Israel. He's the Savior of the world. And so we remember. And it's not just celebrating the number of years he's been around, his age. We're celebrating him. We're celebrating him, who he is. And today I would say, let your passion, let your zeal, let the fire in you remember him. Remember his light. Remember his life. Remember his passion on the cross, what he did for you. Remember why he was born. He wasn't born to be a king in those days. He was a king. He is the king of kings. But he wasn't born for that reason. He was born to die on the cross for the salvation of the whole world, for the forgiveness of our sins. There's not another message on the face of the earth that boasts that intensity. I've got a call coming in this morning. I'd like to take that call. Let me gear myself up this morning. And I think this is our dear friend and sister Carla calling in. She's a great sister in the Lord. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. I went to Romans 10:13, and it says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I was just watching a couple of testimonies from, from Muslims who got converted, and they're on fire just sharing their testimony. But the point to bringing that up is that Jesus' love on the cross is for all nations, and he's calling out to the nations to come to him. And so, yeah, it's an exciting time, and God is good no matter what time of the year.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Carla. We love
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas.
God bless your heart, dear lady. Shalom.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Very good. Let's take our next call coming in 479-321. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
I was just thinking that if all the people that have never made Jesus Christ their Savior would confess their sins and ask Him to do that today, be His Savior or their Savior, it would really be a truly wonderful Christmas for them.
It certainly would, and what a joy to the world. And one day, Phil, this whole earth, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, and all people everywhere will serve the Lord. And, you know, God's got a plan. It's supernatural because it involves the transformation of our thinking, our souls, our behavior, our character, our conduct, because we're going back to what God originally intended when He created us in His image and likeness. And it's through Jesus Christ all these things happen. But you're right. This could be the greatest Christmas in a person's life if they would simply accept and receive Christ into their hearts. Let's pray for that everywhere. Amen.
Amen.
Way to go, brother. Anything else on your heart or mind today?
No, I love Jesus and I like you too.
Well, praise God and pass the ammunition. That's
right.
What our dear elders. Thanks, Bill. God bless you, my friend. All right, so we're getting a few local calls here this morning, and we'll be waiting for your call coming in as well. What a great comment. You know, just think about what you just heard. People around the world are receiving the Messiah into their hearts, and they're getting so passionate and radical for Yeshua. They're willing to die for Him. And then you just heard if everybody would just believe, if one person today, one person would understand what Christmas is about in its purest form and get saved, all the angels in heaven would rejoice over one sinner that repents and receives Messiah. That's how much God has involved Himself with the salvation. I mean, God just keeps Himself happy and heaven's rejoicing because men get saved all the time and wise men still seek Him. Amen. We're still waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. We're getting Sean's on the in YouTube and saying an awesome confirmation. Praise God. We believe that's true. You excited about Christmas Day today? Oh, and by the way, somebody just enlightened me that today, and I'm pretty sure she might even be home, our dear sister and friend Darlene, who we've known for many, many years, it's her birthday today, and so we want to celebrate Darlene and say to her, happy birthday, Darlene. I don't know if you're watching or not. I don't know if you're listening or not, but you were just made mention of in a text, and we want to say happy birthday to you, Darlene, and we do celebrate you. We don't even know how old you are or how young you are, but we know you and we appreciate you and we value you and we remember your birthday today. God bless you. You're a very, very special part of this ministry and we love you. And we're getting another one. Got some great stuff coming in on text messages, but waiting for your call. Where is everybody? It's Christmas Eve day. Where is everybody? Good morning. Sound familiar? Oh, praise the Lord. Yep, I'm just going to do this for the next 12 minutes. We do have a call coming in. And you know what? Pastor Ken must have heard me say good morning because that's what he does every Sunday morning on our broadcast. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you?
Good morning, Pastor. Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. A little tired this morning, quite frankly, be honest with you. We had some technical difficulties and all that good stuff, but in general, blessed, highly favored, and overcoming in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, sir. What is on your heart and mind today?
You know, you asked the question earlier about what we're feeling, what we're doing, and I think for myself, and I hope for many others as well, that we're doing everything that God has asked us to do and then have the peace of mind and the peace within ourselves to know that what we're doing is being guided by Him and not have any fear or anxiety, but have just an overall peace that He's in charge and it will come out exactly the way He wanted it to be. That's what I've been trying to do. And that's what He's been guiding me to go ahead and do as well. is have that inner peace, no matter what's going on outside, no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, to know that He's in charge, and that peace of God will reign in each and every one of us.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Amen. That's the promise. That's the gift, that that Christ would be born again in our spirit, in our lives, and that as He is at rest and at peace, and we remember, He does certainly give that to us, Pastor Ken. I couldn't agree more. And it's so important that we're all doing what we're called to do, right?
Yeah, that's the key. And then not to worry and be concerned, saying, oh, what are people going to think about me? Or what am I supposed to be doing? My end goal, of course, is that I have to appear before the Lord and account for all the things that I have done or have not done. And one of those things that He asked us always, He always said it many times to even to His apostles, peace be with you. And that's the key, is that when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and knowing it, that we can have that peace of mind and know that we're trying to do exactly what Jesus has asked us to do.
Hallelujah. I couldn't agree more, Pastor Ken. Thank you for sharing your comments today. God bless you and Sister Peggy. And hopefully we're going to see you guys a little bit later here this afternoon. And we're going to continue the fellowship. And we want to thank God for New Wine Ministry friends and family. And we're going to take our next call right now, coming in from area code 479903. Good morning. Is this the elder?
Good morning.
Yes,
good morning.
It is.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's so, that celebration of that birth of Jesus Christ has been going on for 2,000 years. There's nobody else in this world that had such a birth and what did so much to this world. Oh, that, and that peace and that joy and that love that passes all understanding when you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen, Elder George. You're hitting the spot, because this is the time, what I just heard with my ears is, what a moment and an opportunity for God's people to feel warmed by the spirit of this moment, warmed by the genuine reality that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life, that God gave to this earth His Son so that we can spend time with Him in eternity. Absolutely amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. Oh, it's so amazing what the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, and that Holy Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. We thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Well, amen.
We're going to see you a little bit later today, too, I hope. God bless you, my friend, and our dear Elder George. And let's say it one more time. Praise the Lord and?
Pass the ammunition.
Pass the ammunition. You got it. Thank you, George, for your call and comment, sir. I know that the Lord loves you, and He loves everybody listening right now. He truly does. You know, I have no problem with this. I got Kevin is speaking to us on YouTube right now, saying what you spoke about. And the prophetic word read goes with some things the Lord is showing me. He said he had a vision last night, but has not yet been revealed completely today yet. Oh, Kevin, you got to tell us what that is. You got to call in and let us know what the vision is. People are having visions and dreams everywhere. I'm excited about that. How about you? Would you like to begin to see the dreams? You know, it was during Christ's birth that Joseph had a lot of dreams. There was angels, dreams, open heavens, the host of heaven praising God. I expect that in these last moments, when the first coming of the Lord was accompanied with all that great stuff, that the second coming is going to be just as filled with great things. I believe that. I believe that miracles, signs, and wonders are coming. I believe that the best is yet to come. And I know we've got to go through some hard stuff. And whatever it's going to look like, only God knows. But I also know that the end of the matter, oh my goodness, we are going to be conformed into the image of Christ. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 2479238. This is our dear friend out there, Bill. Good morning, Bill. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Pastor. Little change of gears here a little bit. Pastor Patricia was talking the other day how she felt like the Lord was calling some of His own home because of the things that are fixing to come upon the earth. And the Lord was showing compassion upon them to say, look, I don't want them to have to go through that. And he called one of his own home there last Wednesday, this past Wednesday here, and to one of your regular listeners, Brother Milton down in Texas, his father was called home on Wednesday. 85 years old, his parents have been married 61 years. And so now, and his older sister, she departed in 2015. So basically, his mother and him are the only two left. And his parents were godly people. He said his mom and dad got up and prayed every day. That's what they enjoyed doing. And so now it's just his mom. She's 85. And so he's concerned about her. And they were close. Him and his father were really close. And his parents, his parents were not only school teachers, but his father was also his coach. He coached, I know he coached track, and I think he coached football, but he was his coach growing up. So very, very close to him. So he's a regular listener. He's struggling a little bit with grieving, but he does know that his father's in a better place and will give him the ability to make sure that his mom is taken care of. So anyway, we'll keep them in our prayers. It's a celebration. It's a celebration that his dad has gone home to be with our Lord, whom we're celebrating. So instead of being sad, you know, it's just how do you say it? You're just reflecting on how short life is, but a vapor, even at 85 years, you know. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for sharing that. And Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Milton and his family. And we can thank you for doing that in Jesus' name. Yes, yes, yes. Let's take our next call coming in, and we will remember Milton in our prayers today. Our next call coming, 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. And Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners.
Thank you. God bless you.
This time of the year, so much emphasis is put on gifts and that, as far as exchanging gifts, giving gifts, all that. And we as Christians should keep remembering that the greatest gift is that God sent his Son to be our gift for our salvation. What a wonderful gift we receive by what God did for us.
Amen. Amen. You got it. He is the gift. And then he gave us another gift, the Holy Spirit, and another gift of eternal life. I mean, God has been giving gifts since the very beginning of time. He loves to give. He loves to give. It's in his nature and his heart to do so. And yeah, I believe that that's a very powerful statement, Brother Ken. God bless you, my brother. God bless you and your family. Are you guys staying home, or are you guys going away with family? Where are you going for Christmas? Up there in South Dakota.
We are exchanging gifts this coming weekend and having family here on the weekend, being as it's Christmas is being celebrated on Wednesday, middle of the week. That doesn't work out for family members that have to travel.
Sure, sure. And are you guys going to be able to go snowmobiling and all that stuff?
Right now, it's been so warm that the snow is melting, and it turns out that there's a possibility that our lake might open up again, which it's never done.
Isn't that interesting?
It turns out that most of the time, by Christmas time, our lake has got a lot of ice fishermen out on it, and that it's not happening this year. Very mild weather.
Do you think it's global warming?
I think it's God, and God control it, not Mother Earth. Let's put it that way.
Right. You got it. God is in control of everything. Man, we appreciate the weather here. We're in the high 60s today, and we're just enjoying every single moment of life, the gift of life. It's in the Word of God that if you would love life, and we are told to actually in the gospel, in the epistles of John, to love life. If you love life, and we do love life, and God's given us life, why wouldn't we love it? And we appreciate it. There's a lot of bad things going on, but right in the midst of it, we have a Savior born in a manger. Wow. Brother Ken, God bless you and happy and Merry Christmas to you and Kathy. God bless you both.
God bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. Great comments all the way through, and we appreciate all those calls that came in. We're going to get ready to shift right now. My beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, she's got a message in her heart. She's live every Tuesday and every Thursday. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring her into the broadcast. I believe she's ready to go. And so let me welcome her in. Patricia, good morning. God bless you. How are you this morning?
I am doing very well this morning, and I am very, very happy of the joyful spirit I'm hearing in people. And that is what Christ is all about. Joy to the world. A king has been born. His name was Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Now, truthfully, there are theologians that also are suggesting that Jesus was born in the spring. And based on the biblical narrative, as shepherds were watching over their flocks in the fields on the night of Jesus' birth, and something they would have done in the spring and not in the winter. Others are proclaiming that it is during the Feast of Tabernacles that Jesus Christ surely was born. But it matters not. The point is he was born. And we praise the living God for the Savior of our soul. And during that time, there were angels singing out where the shepherds were watching their sheep. Peace to men on earth. No, peace. And to men on earth, goodwill. We haven't seen that happen, but we will very soon see that happen, for the scriptures tell us so. And so I want to thank the good Lord that he did come and saved us from our sin, the sin which causes us to be people that are not worthy of eternal life. And yet he came and gave his life that we would be worthy of eternal life in life, not in a death darkness. So we praise the living God for what he has done for us. And because he's given us the opportunity to be brand new in our thoughts, in our mind, and in our personage, that we may overcome things that have been a struggle since the time we've been born, to all mankind who will say yes to him. And you know, the scriptures also tell us, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels, those angels that were singing and praising God the day he was born or the night he was born, are still around and about helping those that are heirs of salvation and ministering unto us. But some have entertained these wonderful angels without knowing it. But just be sure you know which kind of angel you are welcoming, a holy or unholy angel. And that is why I am here. I am here that we may begin to understand the truth of God's wisdom and knowledge that he has granted us, and the authority he has granted us, that we may understand and know the difference between the holy or unholy, the difference between what is good and what is evil. You see, what happened in the garden is Adam and Mrs. Adam partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So now there is a confusion till this day. What is good and what is evil? It was confusion they partook of, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of life gives you absolute knowledge of what is true. And if you receive Jesus Christ, that little one that was born and put in a manger, if you receive him as your Savior, because he went to the cross to pay the price for our sins, you will know without a doubt, if you have called upon the Holy Spirit to baptize you, you will know the difference between what is truly holy or what is truly unholy. And why do I say that? Because Satan comes as an angel of light. And oh, body of Christ and folks that are listening, he is pouring out right now as an angel of light all over the world, confusing issues in people and governments and kings of what is right and what is not right, what is holy and what is unholy. It's a great confusion because mankind partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When I say mankind, I mean all of us that have been born from the seed of Adam. But we have a Savior, praise be to God, that takes care of it for us. And as God's church, if you have become that, we have, for the most part, remained in total ignorance regarding this subject I'm talking about. It seems that no one wants to talk about this vital knowledge. And I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with my husband, Vincent Xavier. And I will be reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And through this book, hopefully, we will learn how to be a practical Christian and helpful in the nature of demons to other people who want to know about it. The book is to remind you of warfare, the warfare you are having every day of your life, even if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The difference is, once you understand through the knowledge of this word and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the igniting of truth and wisdom, you will overcome the evil one. And many of us casually acknowledge that one third of all angels created by God fell with Satan. But how many of us understand that their avowed purpose is to deceive and destroy the body of Christ on earth? That is why we have salvation, to overcome the work of the evil one in our life. Jesus Christ already has, but he told us that we may or should execute the judgment against the evil one. We have the ability to do so if we are knowledgeable. He said, my people perish from a lack of knowledge. Let us not have a lack of knowledge. Let us be knowledgeable in the way of the evil one and the way of the wiles of Satan, so we may overcome all things and walk in our high place. And how many of us know that the Father ordained with his power 2/3 of all the angels he created to protect us 24 hours a day? We must grab hold of this magnificent truth. You see, we're not alone in this world. We may see what's going on and the darkness that is covering the world, but rise and shine, for your light has come. And what is that light? The knowledge of the truth. So I suspect that if we knew on any given day the number of fiery flames of hell shot at us by the fallen angels of Satan, if we didn't just think it was a way of life in a humdrum kind of living experience, but if we understood what was happening and the number of times those fiery darts are extinguished by the angels of God fighting over our soul, we would all be in a greater state of praise to our Father than we are at the present. And understanding and knowing that his birth on earth was a call for us to come into our rest and worry no more, concern ourselves no more about anything, no matter what the circumstance is, because the enemy would accuse us if we didn't worry. So we begin to understand and have wisdom and knowledge and understanding that the accuser of the brethren, of you and I, has been already destroyed by the work of the cross, Jesus Christ, given his life for our sin. He has no open door any longer if we will receive that knowledge and understanding and know that the power of the Holy Spirit is operating in us to overcome all things in our life that hinder our walk and make us most miserable creatures. You see, each one of us can recall numerous times when we have escaped from difficulty and truly did not know how we did it. How did we escape? Well, I suggest we look to God and say, thank you, Father, for your loving care through your angels. Let's get a hold of what has been done from the birth of Jesus Christ on this earth and the magnificent work of redemption for ourselves through that little babe that was born and then gave his life for all of us. He came from an abode that was absolutely magnificently wonderful and great and unbelievable in peace and joy and happiness and all needs met and the most freeing life possible for any individual to come to this world that has had nothing but absolute disaster from the very fall of Adam to this very day, except for a short time in this country. So can you now begin to visualize the spiritual realm and where we are going because we have received magnificent spirit of Jesus Christ within our life, the Holy Spirit that he paid a price for us to have? Can you see these billions, possibly trillions of spiritual beings, the angels of God working for you? Well, when you do warfare, they work on your behalf. I am trying desperately to get all who listen and hear from this magnificent work that Jesus Christ paid the price by his death on the cross, his birth first, that we are celebrating, and we need to be full of joy because in that he began to teach us the ways of truth and life. Even Buddha said there was a king once coming, that will be coming, that will be the great creator of all things, and he will be the great king of the universe and universes, the magnificent Messiah. And even is spoken, and it is even spoken in the realm of Buddhism, but also the Muslims recognize him for who he was, and that Mary did give birth supernaturally to him. And they know that he will be coming. So you see, it's not just Christians that understand this. The work of Buddha, Hinduism, Muslims in the Quran, and Zoroastrianism, all of these recognize the birth of one who was coming. That's why the Magi came to visit. They heard, they were soothsayers, they were astrologers, but they heard that somebody that was the King of Kings was to be born. And they were from the area of Iraq. In some cases, say Iraq, but in the vicinity thereof. And they were taught by a Jew to understand the name was Daniel, and he taught them of these things that was to be. But they understood by their astrology where it would be and how it would be. And they went to this King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So the angels of God, these obedient beings, move and act according to the word of God. So if we say, in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, I call forth protection over myself in a certain situation. I want you to know, and I want you to understand that the angels go to work immediately, carrying forth your command through Jesus to its conclusion in accordance with the word of God. According to Psalms 103:20, they move according to the words that we speak, but they have to be words of truth. They have to be the word of God himself, and you'll find that in the Bible. His word has been written supernaturally in the Bible by men with supernatural hearing, received and took time to write what God was speaking to him. The Holy Spirit is here to give us understanding this very moment of how we are to pray and seek the Lord. Our job is to proclaim the promises of God that we have received through his word and to do exploits through that word. It is written in the Bible that this is the way. Then the angels will go forth and work on our behalf because we are speaking the promises in the Word of God Himself. They have to move by His Word. It behooves us to watch what we say. If we speak against the things in which we have been granted, we open the door for the evil one, for he is listening. He is a supernatural demonic presence that is listening to every word that proceeded out of our mouth. That's why it's so important that we speak ultimate truth, and that ultimate truth is the Word of God. And we must speak only God's promises rather than speak doubt and fear from Satan's deception. Because when we start babbling in that direction, we are not speaking God's word. We are speaking the deception of the evil one. And we become part of him. So this will take extensive retraining of our soul realm. That is why I wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. If you are interested in taking a retraining course of your soul route and understand the grant of the experience of righteousness that we have been given through Jesus Christ, you could then purchase my book on, it went away from me. Satan, you're a liar. I rebuke you. I command you to be taken away right now from what I am saying. As we receive knowledge through this study and begin applying ourselves by putting God's word into action, and we have to do that, our victory march into life will truly begin. I want to just explain again, Amazon is where you just type in and ask for Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. By doing that, you will be able to purchase my book, and I believe you will be happy you did. You will help yourself and multitudes of others to understand the warfare that we're in and how to overcome it. So as we receive knowledge through the study and begin applying ourselves by putting God's word into action, which I express in my book, our victory march into life will truly begin. You will be an overcomer. You will begin the work of being an overcomer, which was requested in Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 3, that he who overcomes will eat of the tree of life. He who overcomes will be with God forever in eternally. I'm telling you, there are promises there for the church that overcomes that you need to read and become part of. Now, if you have a situation or problem at home or work or with your relationships, and you say, you know, enough is enough. These relationships that I'm having a problem with, they can continue to persist and they continue to plague me. You will find there is an evil agent at work, a devil assigned to that particular situation. And remember, these evil spirits have been purposely assigned to hold you back from wholeness of life. This warfare has been ensuing for 6,000 years. But the Lord God Almighty has given us a way out. Praise be to his name. And so be especially aware of this and consider it only as a temporary stumbling block that must be and will be removed. And as mentioned earlier, we have been warned that Satan comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy, and he will steal whatever you allow him through your sinfulness. Overcoming sin has been granted to you through Jesus Christ. You need not sin anymore. And I know most will feel differently about this that may be listening because they have been taught through various schools of theology and through their pastors and ministers that they will always be in a place or an experience of truth. That is not true. As I mentioned earlier, we have been warned that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants you to stay in your sin. He will steal whatever you allow him. And your sinfulness is the answer of how he is able to do so. And so if you permit him by continuing in sin, Satan will steal your joy, your emotions, your finances. He will steal your health. He will destroy your physical body through sickness and disease. He uses these tactics to get what he wants from you. Or it would be some other misfortune. One after another. Could be your children. Could be your marriage. So this unholy being is angry with you. He will deceive you into expecting death to come upon you and accepting it when it does. You have been so deceived. I can't tell you that the various schools of doctrines with different thoughts of theology has been inundated by Satan himself to cause us not to look out the world, the flesh, and the devil. So he is angry with us. Satan, he's jealous of what we have been given. And he will do everything he can to deceive you into expecting death to come upon you and expecting it when it, and accepting it when it does. It grieves my heart. I have to tell you, it grieves my heart. Because it may not be that way. I want you to remember this. Death is an enemy of man. When Adam and Eve were put in the garden, they did not know death. Please hear me. But when Satan deceived them into sinning, death was the outcome of their sin. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Death is the enemy of man. Folks, where have we been? Why don't we understand that the scriptures tell us that death is the enemy of man? Do not mistake death as a release from the torment and anguish of this life and world. When you become so distraught because of the working of devil in your life, you cannot take any more. That, my dear one, is death's process and the fulfilling of Satan's desire for man. He will cause you to stress. He will cause you to be in anguish. He will cause you to get angry. He will cause your body to react to this terrible affliction of emotions. And when your body does react, it becomes toxic. And when it becomes toxic, anything of generational bloodline curses or any spiritual evidence of what your mother and father had that caused their death, you will be open to. If Satan can trespass illegally on your blood purchase territory, and by that I mean what Jesus Christ has done for you, he will. He does not care about legalities or God's law. He will do whatever Christians give him the right to do. Whatever we let him do. And that is the point of being stressed. Satan is a serious offender of our rights. Hear me. We are overcomers. We have been granted to become overcomers, to do spiritual warfare, to take down strongholds, and to be a wonderful army that God has called us to be. It is his sole business to destroy. Remember that you are fighting a deadly enemy in a deadly war. I have good news for you. Jesus Christ again overcame us on the cross. However, you have to understand that you have to execute that judgment. He's given us the right to do so. He wants us to be part of his army. Excuse me. So we do not fight with flesh and blood, but with spiritual weapons that have been given to you by God. And this is so exciting. And I have desired so often to have others understand these spiritual weapons. I have given so much in prayer and desire of heart to see us begin to pick up our spiritual weapons that have been given to us by God and to do the fight, the great fight of the overcoming manner of life God has called us to have. Understand it is not each other that we are fighting. We have no excuse for becoming angry with each other. It's ridiculous, really. Jesus knew this. Even though he took up certain emotions, because no one person is better than the other. We have all been deceived. Girded with this truth, we must direct our warfare against the evil spirits that are activating the strife between us. And that is in our world also. Right now in our nation, we must always reflect on the situation and search our hearts. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, forgive one another. We have no right to hold unforgiveness in our heart. And if we do, we will not be forgiven according to the word of God. And we will not have eternal life. We must remember this as we get riled up and angry when we hear the unbelievable statements that are being made that make no sense and have no direct strength or ability to bring rest to any individual, but nothing but aggravation. We have to forgive these people that are doing so. We have to forgive one another, especially those whom we believe have offended us the most. The most. Unforgiveness is the work of Satan and his agent to keep us apart. When Jesus Christ was a babe and he was born on this earth, he was born that we may not only be forgiven for our own sins, but that we may be able to forgive others who have sinned against us. Oh, body of Christ, do you understand what I am saying? Do you understand this incredible truth we have been given? Unforgiveness is not instituted by man. You can't do it on your own volition. You don't have the ability to do so. But by Satan for man's destruction, unforgiveness is instituted by man, but by Satan, not forgiveness. It's not instituted by man, but by Satan for man's destruction. It is instituted not by man, but by Satan for man's destruction, unforgiveness. I'm going to say it one more time because it's so important. It is important that you take advantage of the season that we're in right now. There is a strong move of the Holy Spirit because of people who are hungering to be unfold and be made right to Jesus Christ because of the times we're in. Unforgiveness is not instituted by man, but by Satan for man's destruction. Mankind wants so desperately to be saved that they don't understand the reason for it. The only way we can unlock the prison door of our hearts is through forgiveness. Ultimately, there is no other way. Forgiveness is a choice, regardless of what our feelings may be telling us. We must make a willful choice to forgive. we must forgive others who have sinned against us. Our God will not forgive our sins against him unless we forgive others. Please consider that carefully. We are in a season where the Spirit of God is powerful and strong right now because people want to grab onto hope. And Christ is our hope. He's our only hope. I'm going to ask you a very interesting question. Can we afford not to forgive? It is absolutely essential that we be cleansed of all unforgiveness when we go forth to war against the powers of darkness. Otherwise, we will become open targets for Satan's attacks. More to come. Thursday, Christmas Day. Oh no, it's Wednesday. I get confused. But more to come Thursday. May God bind the confusion that I just spoke in Jesus Christ's name. God love you. God bless you. And may you have a wonderful time with those who are.